And I want to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And this is a parable that Jesus is teaching on. And most parables, if not all, Jesus would open the parables by saying something like, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like. So it's often how he would open these parables. He was trying to speak in a plain text to the listener. And let's read the text and then we'll jump into it. And it says this, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as we open your word and we read your word, that we have ears anointed to hear and a heart to receive and feet that are ready to walk out what you say to us today. We come to your table hungry. We come with open hands and open hearts, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, one of the familiar parables of Jesus, and to simplify it, a parable is simply an earthly illustration of a heavenly truth. Jesus's way to speak the language in a way that people could understand. If you did not know, God is so awesome and so amazing in his wisdom that we can't contain it. Right? Like if he just downloaded all of his wisdom, I think our brains would explode somehow. But we just can't. So he's like, hey, let me, bring this down to your capacity to understand it. And Jesus knew the group of people that he was speaking to. And you know, they were very familiar with sowing and planting. And they had very limited understanding. And one of the reasons they had limited understanding is that this was pre-Pentecost. Why does that matter? Well, because the Bible says at Pentecost, what did we receive? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Leads and guides us and directs us in all truth, right? So we have more an ability to understand scripture and understand the teachings of Jesus than even they did in his day. Why? We are post-Pentecost. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us. But this group did not. So he was trying to convey the kingdom in a way that they could understand. But how many of you know the Bible has multiple layers to it, right? Sometimes it's hard to understand this, and the world often can't comprehend it, but it has layers. And here's the first obvious layer to this thing. It's not always just what you read on paper. But when you peel that layer back, sometimes a story will have a prophetic layer that you didn't understand before. Sometimes it'll have a personal layer that directly applies to you, or a spiritual layer to it, right? So somebody could just read this text and say, oh, that's a great lesson on farming, has nothing to do with me. But how many of you know there's multiple layers to this thing, right? So in the next few verses, he explains the real meaning of this parable. And what's interesting is Jesus, only two times in scripture did he explain a parable further. Most times he just submitted it, take your understanding. Two times Jesus explained the parable, this time and then the parable of the sower. If you remember, that's when he said a man goes out and he sprinkles seed. Some fell to the, on the path, some onto the stony, some onto the thorns, some into good soil, and produced 30, 60, 100 fold. And he says that this seed is like the word of God. So here when Jesus goes on to explain it, we're going to find a very prophetic parable. And some people will even take this, in terms of end times and what's happening in end times, end time events. And obviously you can turn on the news and, you know, we can see everything that's happening in the Middle East and prophecy being fulfilled left and right. And I believe that Jesus is closer to coming back than ever before. If you believe that, shout amen. And that's one of the layers to this. A lot of people will use this parable and it's speaking about end times, but I want to peel that layer back and I want to reveal this as a personal prophecy to you. Everybody just say to me. Here's what I want you to see from this is that God is the sower. In this parable, he talks about seed being sown. God is the sower and you are the soil. I'm the soil, right? We are the soil. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's your mind, your heart, your spirit are all things that what he's comparing to soil, that stuff grows in. How many of you know stuff grows in your mind? Come on, you let one thought go unchecked and that puppy can grow and now you're believing all kind of mess. Come on, somebody. Stuff can grow in your heart the same way and in your spirit. That's why Jesus warns us, protect your gates, your eye gate, your ear gate. Be careful what you're letting in. Why? Because something is growing in the soil. And what's interesting about that is Jesus says there's one field, that's you, but there are two sources sowing in this field. All your life, two worlds have been sowing into you. First one is God sowed. He sowed into you. He sowed faith into you. The Bible would say, for God has dealt unto every man a measure of faith. God sowed that into you when he created you. He's dealt unto you a measure of faith. He sowed into you your destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, for good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God sowed those things into you. He sowed your calling into you. The scripture would say that for those who he has called, he has predestined, which means he has a purpose and a destiny for you. Believe it or not, God sowed the anointing in you. Well, that's a big word. I don't know about all that. Well, listen, if Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, Christ was not Jesus's last name. I don't know if you know that. It wasn't his surname. Christ, by definition, means the anointed one. So Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one. What is the anointing? The burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. So if Christ lives in you, the anointing lives in you, and you have on the inside of you the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God in this moment. So what am I saying? God has been planting stuff in the field of your life for a long time. He's been sowing good seeds. He's been prepping you for the destiny and the purpose he has for you. But what happens is they start to grow. And in this parable, the servants come up and say, sir, did you not sow good seed? Tares are springing up. I love this. Did you not sow good seed? Because I've been here. I know his promises. I can quote them to you better than anybody. But sometimes you look at the harvest happening in your life and it begs the question, sir, did you not sow good seed? Because not everything that is coming up is good. I'm excited about this sermon today. All because while God was sowing, somebody else was also involved in the process. There was an enemy who was also sowing. So when God came in and measured out a portion of faith to you, the enemy responded to the seed of faith planted in the fertile soil of your life. And guess what he did? Sowed a seed of fear. So when God sowed destiny, the enemy said, the only thing I can do to counteract the seed of destiny is to sow a seed of rejection that once it grows will keep them from their destiny. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. God sowed purpose in your life, and the enemy said, the only way I can stop purpose from growing to its full state is to introduce trauma into their life to freeze them in a state of being that they never move beyond. God would sow anointing into your life, as we said, and the enemy would come in and say, I will sow a seed of insecurity, so that though they have the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God on the inside of them, they feel so insecure in who they are in Christ that they never use it to do anything in the earth. So here's the big idea. The wheat that was planted intentionally, God planted it intentionally, but so were the weeds. I want you to see this today. So when I was studying this, man, this got me free. Just as intentional as God was to plant the right seeds in the soil of your heart, so the enemy was just as strategic in his planting. What am I trying to say? It's no accident that you deal with what you deal with. Because long before it ever grew to fruition, the enemy looked at the seed that God planted in your heart and said, I have to plant something contrary to that seed. So you don't struggle with what you struggle with by accident. I mean, you know, the devil's a good farmer. So all of us have, you know, worked on our lawns and landscaping and planted seeds, and you know, sometimes we come out later and you know, the things we planted are dead and weeds are growing in their place. Like my kids a few weeks ago wanted to start some seeds, so everybody got these containers and we put seeds in them, and everybody's is doing great except for Judy's. She's not in the room, so I can call her out. And I say she must have her mother's thumb, because there's whole other stories. We won't go down that rabbit trail. But I felt so bad. Everybody's seeds are like growing. And Judy had one little blossom, one tiny little thing barely hanging on for dear life. So God answered prayer yesterday. Some real estate lady sent, it's a good promotional thing, but a pack of seeds in the mail advertising her thing. So I went and sprinkled them in Judy's thing and, you know, trying to, come on, can we make something happen? Because I feel devastated. I'm like, Judy, what, yours is different. It's going to grow, I promise. Right, but weeds happen and weeds grow, and those are unintentional things that just, you know, it happens. We didn't plant those weeds, and that's different. What I'm talking about today is I'm talking about an enemy that is deliberately watching the sower, watching what the sower is planting, and coming right along behind him to plant something that is contrary to that harvest. What is the thing that'll stop that harvest from coming forward? That's what I'm going to plant. So now when you show up into your future, you're like, God, why do I struggle so much with insecurity? It prophesies. It speaks prophetically of what the enemy saw that maybe you didn't see. When doubt and fear are sown, it could be because God called you to stand in a greater measure of faith than you ever thought possible. And the enemy said, the only way I can stop their faith is getting the seed of doubt embedded into the soil of their heart. But that should prophesy to you that if I'm struggling with fear, I'm struggling with doubt, then it's a very good possibility that the enemy's letting me in on a little clue right here, is that he saw the planter go before him and plant faith in my future. When the enemy comes in and says, you can't be the mother, you can't be the father, you have a history of broken homes, a history of broken relationships, you can never be the person that you see on the inside of you. It's often a prophetic picture that the enemy saw God plant destiny, that you would be the mother and the father or the husband and the wife that he destined for you to be. And he said, I have to plant something to counteract that seed. So it begs the question, when we show up into our futures and things are growing, if God planted something good, why does it look like this? And come on, and some of us have asked the same question. He called me, but I got betrayed. He anointed me, but I was abused. He promised me, but then the marriage fell apart. He planted purpose in me, but I've experienced so much pain. The interesting thing about wheat and tares is through the early stages of their growth, they look exactly the same. Can't tell them apart. One is wheat, the other is tares. But until they're fully grown, you can't recognize it. So you look and say, well, that's a weed when it's actually wheat. Or that's wheat and it's actually a tare, it's a weed. And I think it's amazing how when you first start maturing in your faith, it's incredible how much faith can look like fear and fear look like faith. We're saying things like, well, I'm not doing that because I have faith that God's just going to bless me here. No, you're not doing it because you have fear of stepping out into nothing. Come on, somebody. It's amazing how early stages of complacency we try to disguise as patience. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, you're not waiting on the Lord. You're lazy. Come on. There's a big difference there. The same thing, how much disobedience can look like obedience, right? So what I'm saying is in the beginning stages of things producing in our life, we have to be very careful because often we think it's spiritual growth, we think it's faith, but often it's a weed. And then look at this, they both grow in the same environment. They both grow together in the same field. I think it's incredible how anxious thoughts thrive in a soil of creativity. Let me speak this to creative people in the room, because here's what I've found. I would say that for most people who would identify themselves as creative in some way, you probably struggle from some level of anxiety. Some level of anxiety. And this is what I found. Why? Because people who are creative tell the best stories. Think about that for a second. Creative people can come up with the best storylines. They can come up with the best scenarios. They know how to picture something before it ever happens. Have you ever seen an artist starting to draw something and in the beginning stages, you're like, they are whacked out. That is nothing. That's a bunch of scribbles on a page. And by the time they're done, you're just sitting with your jaw open because like, how did they see that? Because they didn't see it in the natural, but they saw it in their mind first. Because a creative can see in their mind before they ever produce what's in their hand. So here's why this is important. Because a creative person has such an ability to imagine and create stories and see things. What is the contrary seed? I'm going to plant a seed of anxiety, which creates the storyline about what could, can, in their mind, what will happen long before it ever does. So instead of picturing faith and victory, usually creatives will struggle with some essence of anxiety. Why? Because the enemy has planted seeds that say, this is what's going to happen. I hope I'm helping somebody in the room this morning. Here's what I found. Bondages thrive in the soil of surrender. Why? In your effort to seek out a surrender to God, we often end up surrendering to everything. Why? Because all the seeds are growing in the same soil. And then beyond that, there's this whole root system that's happening. Tares grow by wrapping around the roots of what is wheat. In other words, the tares are fed by what is good. So while they were watering the wheat, they were also watering the weeds. And then they said, well, why did this happen? What happened here? And I love what Jesus said. He just made it so plain. The enemy has done this. We read that from the parable. The enemy has done this. Listen, can I just say something to everybody in the room today? You may not have gone through the same school that I did. We didn't maybe grow up in the same community. Some of you might be from inner city, ready to, you know, fight at the drop of a hat, and some of you might be farmers coming from the backwoods of Farmdale somewhere. My point is, it doesn't matter what side of the tracks, I got some other Farmdale folks over here with me, what side of the tracks you came from, who your parents were, who your grandparents were, there's one thing that we all have in common, and that is we all have an adversary. You have an enemy. So many churches, they don't like to talk about the enemy, don't talk about the devil. Well, then take it up with Jesus. He's talking about the same story, and he says, the enemy did it, right? Jesus said it pretty plainly, the enemy has done this. So here's what I'm trying to get to us. Not everything growing in your life is of God. The enemy planted alongside what God had planted. But don't miss this. It wasn't that the enemy planted instead of God. It's more that the enemy planted alongside of God. So again, for every good seed God planted, the enemy came in and dropped a bad seed. And they're growing together in the same field, watered by the same source. And how do I tell which is good and which is bad? And that's why you're confused. You love God, but you wrestle. You worship, but come on, you still got struggle. You pray, but you're still fighting negative thoughts. You come in here and you jump around and singing, I'm never gonna give up, I'm never gonna give in. But how many of you know Tuesday morning hits and you're like, that's it, I'm through, I quit, I'm out. Why? Because it's not that you're crazy, it's that good and bad are growing together in the same soil. I just needed to let somebody know. I felt so excited about this today because I just wanted to give you the permission slip. You're not crazy. Because I don't know about you, but I felt like that. Somebody receive that today. I'm not crazy. I'm just crucial. I'm crucial to the kingdom of God. I'm so valuable in the kingdom of God that the enemy has had his eyes on me since day one. The enemy kept a close watch on what God was trying to do and is doing in my life and spent so much time trying to plant counteractive seeds to stop the promises of God. So I love that the only reason the enemy came along at all and started planting is because he knew that God planted something first. He knew that what God put inside of you was going to destroy the enemy's kingdom. So he came in and said, I have to put something in there to stop it. So the parable goes on and asks the question, well, when did the enemy do this? Well, the scripture says he did this while they slept. The enemy came in and planted while they were vulnerable. They weren't in rebellion. They weren't in sin. They were just fatigued. They just had a lot of heartbreak. They were just in too much transition. They just needed to sleep a little bit. And come on, this isn't a crazy thing. If you've been out working in the field all day, sowing, by the end of the day, you're going to be exhausted. You're going to go inside and you're going to close your eyes, lay your head down and sleep. But while they were resting, the enemy started working. So while they were asleep, while they were vulnerable, that's when the enemy started planning some things. So again, two parables that Jesus ever expounded on or gave explanation to, this parable and the parable of the good sower. So let's compare it a little bit with the good sower. When Jesus comes along and says that he sowed seed, what is the seed that Jesus talked about in the other parable? The seed is the word of God. So what is it being sown into this field? The word. The promises of God, what the Bible says about you, who you are because of the word, not what you've just made up about yourself or what your best friend says about you, what the word of God says about you. That's why we have to be careful who we hang around with when we're tired. Why? Because I'm full of faith, but there are still days where I've fought long enough and hard enough that I'm tired. And I have to be careful who I hang around when I'm tired, because the enemy will send the right person in when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted, when I feel like I can't keep going. And they're gonna submit a little seed. Just give up. Are you sure you're supposed to be doing this? Are you positive this is the call of God on your life? Come on, somebody. And you know what? It has been a long road. This has been difficult. It's not going the way I thought it would go. And you see, suddenly you're tilling the ground. The seed's going a little bit deeper. Listen, it's easy to wake up every morning and put on, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our the belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and take up the sword of the Spirit, take up the sword of faith. That's not easy. That's exhausting. It's a battle. We have an adversary, and he's doing everything that he can do to destroy us and take our whole family out with us. And because of all of that, there are days where you will get tired. And there are people sitting in this room right now, you just feel tired from the fight. You're full of faith, but you're tired. And I just want to submit to you, watch who you hang around when you're tired. Another thing is watch who you hang around after a great victory. Why? Because when I've got my armor on, I'm like, bring it. I'm ready for a fight. I've got this. But what happens is after we get the victory, what do we go home and do? I've won. We think after a victory, it's easy street from here. We take the armor off. We rest. We settle down a little bit. We somehow think that the devil just disappeared, that our flesh just disappeared, that, The only practical way I can describe it to you, if I'm trying to use a parable like Jesus, but have you ever just looked at the scale and you lost a pound or two? And then you look at the refrigerator and say, but I deserve it. It's, or is that just me? And then because I deserved it, well, now the guilt and condemnation comes in. And because I've already blown it today, well, let's just do it and then we'll start again tomorrow, right? Like it's instead of one ice cream sandwich, I've had six. I'm not saying that from any experience. So be careful of who you hang around with when you're tired, and be careful who you hang around with after your greatest victory. Because often it's in those moments the enemy tries to come in. I also want you to notice from this parable the timing. The enemy planted in such a way that they didn't notice the seeds until growth, until maturity in the progress. Have you ever noticed that before you were in church, for those who came to God, it's like the devil barely messed with you at all? Do you even sometimes look at the world and it's like, things just seem like it's going good for them. Like before you came to Christ, you were doing all kind of drugs and mess and you had perfect health and everything was just going your way. And then you come to Jesus, you get into the church, you're saved, you go to the doctor and they're saying everything's falling apart. And you're like, what happened? All of a sudden you lose your job and your friends abandon you and you're like, what in the world has happened to me? It's called timing. Why? Because often, just at the moment you're about to be the most productive, see, the greatest breakthrough, the greatest growth, the greatest maturity in your life, the tares start showing up. They were there all along, but it wasn't until you got ready to harvest them that things started happening. That's why the enemy will start planning things when you were just a kid. Some of the things you've gone through as a child were strategic seeds placed by the adversary to stop you, to block you, to cause you to doubt God, to keep you from moving forward. He was trying to sabotage your harvest. And listen, right when you begin to produce fruit, right when you were about to step into something greater, right when you said, I'm gonna get involved, I'm going to serve, I'm gonna put the gifts that God used on the inside of me, I'm gonna begin to use them, I'm gonna serve, I'm gonna experience the calling of God on my life, I'm gonna take that next step. The tares, the weeds, the fear, the insecurity, the bitterness, they all start showing up. And here come the weeds. But I got another word for you today. the weeds in your life will not win. They won't win. That's why sometimes when you're a Christian, it can seem like you've got two worlds going on, because you do. On the one side, you've got the blessing of God, and it's like I'm hearing his voice and he's speaking to me, and it seems like, man, things are going so well, but I can look over here and my whole life is falling apart in chaos. That's why I never judge the maturity of a believer based off the circumstances that they have going on in their world. Often, a believer who is really on point with what God's doing in them, really stepping into something greater, you look at their life and be like, but how? Their life is completely out of control. Well, of course it is. It's the timing of the adversary. Often we got identified. You see the mess she's going through right now? God, man, he's got something brewing on the inside of her. He has to. There's some people in this room today that you're like, man, I'm blessed in so many areas of my life. The blessing is on me here, but come on, the enemy is testing me over here. Half of my family loves me and half of my family won't talk to me. Come on. I'm blessed in this way, but lacking in that way. The good things and the bad things show up at the same time. What is going on? But there's purpose in your wheat. And that purpose is to give glory to the owner of the field, which is not you, is God. And if the wheat ever reaches maturity, if the wheat ever makes it to harvest season, then the owner gets the glory. Listen, if you ever get to maturity, if you ever get to the place of producing, if you ever get to the place where you start being used by God in a greater way, God will get glory out of your life. The very fact that you are being attacked or have been attacked is proof that you carry value. Why? Nobody robs an empty house. Nobody sticks up a homeless man. Nobody attacks worthless ground. You only attack what is valuable. I'm just trying to encourage somebody. I'm trying to give you a right perspective this morning. You walked in here thinking, what is going on? And I'm letting you know what's going on. That the only reason the enemy's been attacking you the way he has is because he saw what God planted in you. And he said, I have to stop it and I have to block it. And if I just came in, you know, with this big plant from day one and put it in the ground, you're gonna spot it right away. That's why the scripture says it's the small things, the small foxes, right? Why? Because the enemy knows if I can get it in just a little bit, it'll grow, it'll mature, it'll get there. When the, I'll say manifestation of the weeds start growing, again, you don't see it at first. When you start to see the weeds springing up in your life, it prophesies that it's harvest season. It prophesies that it's harvest season. Time for reaping. Why? Because again, that's when they're at their maturity. That's when I can say, that's wheat, that's not. That's of God, that's not. I couldn't tell before. But in this season, I can see it all. Some things are of God and some things are not. And God is going to get the glory out of my life. The weeds will not win. So the people in Jesus's parable run up to the field owner and say, well, this is bad. Should we go out and pull them up? Seems logical to me. We'll pull up the tares. We'll pull out the weeds. And here's what Jesus said, no. Let them grow together. What? What? Let them grow to Jesus? Have you lost your mind? This is your field. This field's supposed to bring glory to you. This is your planting, and you want me to let the weeds alone and let them grow together? But here's what he said, lest when you pull up the tares, you destroy the wheat. See, you've prayed and you've prayed, but you said, I'm still afraid. And you've prayed and you prayed, but you still struggle. And you say, God, what's going on? Why won't you take this from me? Because listen, while the wheat is feeding the weed, here's an interesting thing. The weed is actually strengthening the wheat. The weed actually strengthens the root system of the wheat. See, listen, the deeper the fear, the higher the faith. That's why Jesus said, in your weakness, come on, your weakness, because I'm so weak, I'm gonna trust him even greater. See, I don't need to trust God where I'm strong. So in my weakness, I trust him in his strength. And now my weakness becomes my strongest part of me. Why? Because I trusted him in it. So while the enemy planted the seed to destroy me, the seed did nothing but to strengthen me, that now where I would have been weak, I have become strong. The enemy planted a seed of fear in my life, but because of the fear, I learned how to trust God in the darkest hour, in the scariest moments, and now I got a confidence on the inside of me that I'm going forward in God because the fear strengthened me. What am I saying? What the enemy set up as a snare and a trap to take you out, God said, let it grow together. Can somebody pray me in a Hammond B3 organ? I need one right about now. The enemy set a trap for you. He set seeds for you. He set snares for you designed to take you out from the plan and purpose of God, to stop you from enforcing the kingdom of God in your world. And God said, let them grow together. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God said, watch me. I'll turn it for their good. I'll make the enemy rule the day that he ever planted that fear. I'll make them the most courageous people that ever walked this planet. I'll make him rule the day he ever put doubt in your heart. Because now you are the most confident person. God said, let them grow together. That's why Paul said, I prayed to God over and over again to remove this thorn from my flesh, but he won't take it out of me. But he said, in his grace, I found that he's more than I need. It's his grace. So it's all coming up together. I hope I'm just helping you see your life. Because I have sometimes felt like I can be in full faith in one moment and fear's attacking me in the next moment. I'm like, what's going on? And I'm saying it's all growing together. It's all coming up together. And here's what the owner said do. He said, no. It's about to hit harvest. Don't pull out the weeds. He said, what they're gonna do is they're gonna put your hand on the wheat, and I want you to reap the wheat. I want you to cut down the tares, and I want you to burn them and then go out and reap the wheat. So when is he going to do this? At the greatest point of maturity. At the greatest point of maturity. Here's an interesting thing about harvesting wheat. Is a farmer can usually tell what is wheat and what is weed after the wind blows. Because see, a wheat's heavier on top, full maturity. And when the wind blows, the wheat falls down. Do you know what doesn't fall down? Weeds. And I just came here to prophesy to somebody that God's about to tell his angel, blow the wind of the Spirit again. And what's of God will bow. what's of God will surrender. Every seed that the enemy planted in your life that was designed to keep you, to block you, to stop you, will not bow. And that's why, listen, when the Holy Spirit begins to blow over a church, over a congregation, when faith blows, it's fear that stands up. When the Spirit starts moving and blows over a congregation and healing blows, sickness tries to stand up. And God says, no, go cut them down now and burn them in the fire. So I want you to see today that the presence of tares, the presence of weeds, do not cancel in your life the promise of wheat. I don't care what was planted in you as a child. I don't care what was set up to take you out. You've got a promise of harvest. You've got a promise of wheat. I don't care what you experienced as a teenager. That doesn't cancel the promise. Why? Because the enemy's ability is only to plant in response to. What does that mean? God got there first. He claimed the ground first. He said, I've formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you even then. I've planted anointing in you and calling in you and purpose in you. I don't care what they've said about you. The seeds will not win. I don't care what they did to you. Come on, somebody, the seeds will not win. I don't care what happened to you. The weeds will not win. Good things coming up, bad things coming up, blessings coming up, problems coming up. God's promise will stand in your life. So how do we get that wind to blow? Worship. Because that's what God is always looking for. The difference is who resists the wind and who bows in the wind. Are you with me this morning? I think of that master looking out at his field and the wind's coming by and the wheat is bowing. And he says, now there's a clear distinction of what's of me and what is not. Go take what is not, cut it down and burn it. And I can almost feel the heart of the master looking at the weed in that field, saying, you endured, you sustained, you didn't give up, you didn't quit, you didn't become a weed. You didn't give over to it. And now it's harvest time. And think about what happens. The harvesters go out and gather the wheat. And the wheat is put into the barns or the house of the owner. You're coming out of the field and you're walking into the blessing. Come on, somebody. You're coming out of the field and you're walking into your destiny, your growth point, what you were designed for. Because wheat doesn't produce much if it's left alone in a field forever. The destiny really starts kicking in when it's harvested out of the field. And now we can make it do its purpose. Now we can turn it into something. Now we can start grinding some things. Now we can make some bread out of this. Now we can make it sustain and do its purpose and live the life that it was called to live. Why? Because while it was growing amongst the weeds, it did not give up. It did not quit. It bowed to the moving of the Spirit. And I'm just here to tell somebody today, you are about to come into your promised moment. It's harvest time. That's why things are so out of control. That's why it's so chaotic. And God is saying, will you bow to the moving of my Spirit even in this moment? He said, I put my hand on your life and it's harvest time now. And your life is going to bring glory to the owner. So team, you could come. I just want you to know, I know this is a different type of message this morning, but God's not done with you. There's so much more to your story. And if you weren't about to be harvested, to step into something greater, the enemy wouldn't be attacking you. The attack is the sign that you are in harvest. So let's stand to our feet together. So two great things that happen in harvest. Obviously, I mentioned that the wheat gets taken in, gets brought into the house of the owner, ready to be used for divine purposes, ready to feed others. But you know what also happens? And the parable spoke it. Anything that's not bowing, cut it down. Cut it down. See, the wheat watched nightfall with the problem still there, the fear still there, the anxiety still there, the worry, the problems. But can't you see as the sun comes over the horizon the next morning, there's a sound happening. The crews are coming. In modern day terms, the tractors are coming. And even before daybreak, the weeds are gone. So I'm here to tell you that the problems don't stay forever. They might be growing. They might be there. Don't worry, it's strengthening you. Just let it grow together. But it's not staying forever. So I want to pray over you right now. Father, I thank you for every person that's in the room right now who feels like they've been in a time where, Lord, they've just felt crazy. They've just felt like there's blessing, but there's so many problems. Like, you're here, but where are you? How could you say this, but that is happening? And I ask you today, Lord, that you would reveal to us the seeds that the enemy has come in and planted alongside of the good seeds that you put in the soil. And the enemy seeds don't prophesy a future of destruction, don't prophesy failure, don't prophesy that we're not enough, don't prophesy that we're too broken. The seeds of the enemy actually prophesy that you are for us and not against us, that you've got blessing and purpose and destiny and hope and a future, that you've got good things in store for us. So help us today when we look at our life and we see the weeds and we see, the things that are contrary to the promises of God growing. Let us take heart. Let us take heart, because it's only an invitation to trust you more. An invitation to trust you more. And we give you praise for it. And I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus that any seed that's contrary to the planting of God, we call a crop failure too, in Jesus' name. You will not win. You will not define us. You will not control us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, as we worship with this song this morning, I'm gonna invite some of our prayer team to come. I really just feel like we wanna lay hands on you. If you're in the room this morning and you just say, Pastor, I need somebody to agree with me in prayer. Come on, we wanna stand with you. I believe the purpose and destiny of God is on the inside of you. And sometimes you just need somebody to come alongside you, smack you upside the spirit a little bit, not the head, the spirit, and just say, come on, you're more than enough. Don't quit, don't give up. God's got you. So as we sing, come on, if that's you, I want you to make your way to the front. We'd love to pray for you. Amen. Let's worship God together.
Time and time again, we've asked if you are able. Time and time again, you've proved you're the God of all. our salvation. You're worthy of our praises. And time and time again, we worship you. Anyone with eyes can see a mountain, but anyone with faith could see it move. Elohim, the God who goes before me, Prince of Peace, my heart has found a home. You're the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's no end to who you are, and there's no limit.
this congregation. And Lord, what is of you, may it bow over in worship. May we exalt you above everything else. But Father, what stands against you and contrary to you in the spirit of pride, we ask that you would cut it down and throw it to the side and burn it in the fire. Let nothing but holy remain. Let nothing but what is worthy remain. Let nothing but what is of you remain. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you this morning. Have your will, have your way. Use your people. Touch your house again. Touch your church again, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. So come on this morning. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give up. Don't you walk away from the plans and purposes of God on your life. You might have felt confused. You might have felt intimidated by the things growing around you. But God's got you, and he's in control. Come on, I just feel in the room this morning. People are coming back to the spirit of faith. This church is coming back to the spirit of faith. Destiny and hope are rising in the hearts of God's people this morning. So Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing. And I ask you, Father, that you would begin, at what you've begun today will continue, that you will continue to clarify in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits those things that need to be cut down. That when we felt worried, we felt confused, now we understand. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. The church say amen.